Entomologists for a long time have been trying to understand and evaluate the various factors that are important in driving population dynamics of insects. And in many systems, food quality seems to be a very important factor in driving these population outbreaks and crashes. More recently, entomologists are getting a better appreciation for the role of macronutrients in explaining insect fitness. In particular, the relative balance and absolute amounts also of protein and carbohydrates in their diet. And there have been several talks here at these meetings, especially by Spence Beamer's students at Texas A&M, demonstrating this. For example, in my own research, I compared cell selection for macronutrients in two populations of a single species of grasshopper. And given a choice between of different food sources, they will tend to self-regulate the intake of protein and carbohydrate to achieve a balance of these two macronutrients that provide the best performance in terms of growth rate and survival. The dark circles there are the Alaska population of Melanopus sanguinipes, and they very tightly regulate or self-regulate their intake of protein and carbohydrates to achieve their rapid growth rates. The open circles there represent the population of Melanopus sanguinipes from Idaho, and they don't tend to self-regulate their proportions of protein and carbohydrate to the degree that the Alaska population does, but to a certain degree they still do. And in many studies of grasshoppers in particular, the ideal or the near ideal proportion of protein and carbohydrates is a 1-to-1 ratio. In this particular case, in the Alaska population, it's about a 0.9-to-1 protein to carbohydrate ratio. And there's other evidence by Spence Beamer and Tony Jorn that suggests that these macronutrients may be the basis for niche partitioning among closely related coexisting grasshopper species in the field. Now, all of these previous studies have been conducted in the laboratory using defined diets under carefully controlled conditions. The question I have is, is this actually what occurring in the field? How do we know what they're actually consuming under natural conditions in the field? Or under what conditions are they not able to meet their ideal target of protein and carbohydrates? It's very difficult to know exactly what they're consuming. Traditionally, we've relied on crop analysis, looking at plant fragments within the grasshopper crops. And with enough reference slides and lots of practice, a person can learn to identify some different plant species that have been consumed by the grasshoppers. Looking at various trichomes and patterns in the cells and the epidermis. But the problem is that, of course, the nitrogen content of leaves varies between plants and within plants. The older leaves tend to have lower nitrogen content. Younger leaves tend to have a higher nitrogen content. The carbohydrate levels are very dynamic within a plant. It varies from day to day or even hourly, depending on photosynthetic rates and how much the plant's respiring overnight. If it's a warm night, they'll burn up more of their sugars and respiring. And then there's always things that are difficult to identify. You don't know what they are. Found this inside a grasshopper crop. A taxonomist friend of mine that thought it was either a socid or perhaps a tiny space alien. He wasn't for sure which, but anyway, you find some odd things in the grasshopper crops. I ran across this paper by Kells et al. In the Journal of Insect Physiology, where they evaluated the nutritional status of cockroaches in the field by measuring analyzing the FRAS and the respiratory quotient to determine what the makeup of their diet was in terms of protein or carbohydrate. I wondered about applying this methodology towards grasshoppers. And so what I've done is developed a calibration curve, so to speak, to how much nitrogen is in the FRAS given a certain amount of nitrogen in their diet. So we fed grasshoppers with natural foods and semi-artificial diets that were with known nitrogen content, analyzed their FRAS for total nitrogen. We got this calibration curve. It came out to be a fairly linear relationship. Although our square was about 0.86, the confidence limits there, denoted by the dashed line, are a little wider than would be desirable, plus or minus 1% for a given level of nitrogen in the FRAS, which translates to plus or minus 6% protein in their diet, which is really a little broader than we'd hoped for. I think perhaps using maybe analyzing for uric acid in the FRAS might be able to tighten up the relationship a little bit. Then we also measured respiratory quotient, which is the ratio of carbon dioxide produced per amount of oxygen consumed. And that gives an indication of the type of substrate that's being metabolized. Carbohydrates are the primary source of energy. The respiratory quotient would be close to 1. Protein or lipids are the primary source of energy. The RQ would be down around about 0.7. I'm assuming here the grasshoppers aren't consuming a lot of lipids, mainly eating leafy material in the plants. The mixture of the two will yield intermediate values. Again, similar to the FRAS analysis, fed the grasshoppers on defined diets, known quantities of protein and carbohydrate, and determine the RQ in the various combinations of the two macronutrients. To fit a surface to the data. And from this, then, knowing using the FRAS analysis to determine the amount of nitrogen in their diet or protein, and then using the RQ, we can estimate what the percentage of carbohydrate then is in their diet. Measured in the field, we collected grasshoppers three different times during the summer. Let's see, this is respiratory quotient. The August measurement was significantly lower than the measurement in July. In June, it was intermediate between the two. In June and July, it was 0.9, 0.95. August had dropped down to near about 0.86. And from these same grasshoppers, we collected the FRAS. We swept them up in the field and kept them in a cage without food, and then swept up the FRAS from the bottom of the cage, basically. Again, these were a collective amount of FRAS that we from the group, so I don't have any confidence or error bars on these, so I wasn't able to do mean separations. But from the FRAS analysis, we can estimate how much protein was in their diet. And from the RQ, we can see where on this contour lines the group of grasshoppers fell. And then from that, we can estimate how much carbohydrate was in their diet. And this is the same surface that I fit from the calibration curve. And this is in June. We estimate the protein was about 19.6, carbohydrates were about 14%, which is not perfectly balanced, but it's not too bad. It probably is not affecting their performance. In July, it was estimated to be very nearly near their ideal balance of protein and carbohydrate. As in August, late August, carbohydrate levels had dropped down to about half the protein levels, which is probably getting a little bit stressful for the grasshoppers in terms of performance. Well, some refinements, for instance, using uric acid analysis rather than just total nitrogen. This method might be informative enough for determining seasonal changes in diet quality or density effects on diet intake. For instance, in the high densities and competition for food resources is increasing, at what point does it appear that they're becoming stressed out in terms of protein carbohydrate intake? Are they able to meet their diet and quality? The method's probably not sensitive enough to determine the niche partitioning, as I mentioned earlier. And again, you can't determine nutritional status of individual grasshoppers, but only as population as a whole. And I'd like to thank the people who helped me, folks from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, farmers in Delta, and especially our student helpers at the University of Alaska. Yes?
How did you determine the nitrogen content of your natural samples?
We just clipped the question was, how do we determine the nitrogen content of our natural samples? We collected plant material from the field, stored it in the refrigerator, and kept the sample out to dry and determine nitrogen content from that.